case number 5, I think.
Troy.
Yeah, okay. 21-881. Morning, gentlemen. Sir, can you please identify yourself for the record, indicating the authority you are representing here today and spelling your last name, which I keep forgetting to ask people to do.
Avon Police Lieutenant John Schmalberger, representing the issuing authority. Schmalberger, S-C-H-M-A-L-B-E-R-G-A-R.
Okay. Lieutenant, would you like to make a brief opening statement?
Yes. The reason for denial was based on a 2011 arrest for sexual assault in the third degree and unlawful restraint, resulting in conviction of reckless endangerment, second, and disorderly conduct. So it's denied on suitability.
Thank you, Lieutenant. Sir, would you like to make a brief opening statement?
Yes. Thank the board for your time here today and hear my appeal. I hope to demonstrate my suitability and answer any questions you might have regarding such. To approve my request for this responsibility.
Thank you, sir. Lieutenant, you may proceed with your case.
Yes, the case in question was from 2011. The appellant had an interaction with a female tenant who was renting an apartment from him. The appellant was arrested for and charged with third-degree sexual assault, which is a felony automatic disqualifier, and second-degree unlawful restraint, which is a misdemeanor automatic disqualifier. He was ultimately convicted on reckless endangerment second and disorderly conduct. Since denying the temporary pistol permit, the appellant has repeatedly contacted the legal issuing authority and the town manager by emails containing insults and veiled threats. The appellant has also publicly derided the legal issuing authority through social media.
Sure, you have any questions for the Lieutenant?
Yes. The 2011 arrest, did you personally involve? Do you know any of the facts of the case?
I've reviewed the case. I was not personally involved in any investigation.
The arresting officer, is she still with Avon?
The arresting officer was not. The investigating officer is no longer with the police department. And the arresting officer has also since retired.
Okay, the arresting officer, was she terminated from Avon for negligent duties and lying?
I know she was terminated. I do not know the reasons for her termination.
Okay, they're publicly available on statements made by Avon Police to the Hartford Current. The items that you claim as threats, what are the threats that were made?
Sending emails with insults and veiled threats, pointing that you were frustrated with the process. As far as the social media posts go, there was a post on the Facebook page where you inferred that Director of Public Safety Rio would be unable to find lettuce at his salad bar, and therefore his leadership is not existent.
Okay, so in the threat that you're referring to was an email I sent to the town manager asking for my permit to be heard, my application to be heard, or I might take legal action. Is that correct?
Yes, you mentioned something about saying it was sarcasm in the email to the town manager, indicating that you were frustrated that he would not help you.
So, is it your opinion that referencing taking proper legal action through the proper channels is a threat to law enforcement?
Yeah, I think these emails that you repeatedly sent to us indicate that there's an impulse and anger issue.
Okay. Emails. So the first email was questioning the the board has all these. Hope you had a chance to review them. First email was questioning why.
Is this a question?
Yeah. So the first email was questioning why the permit was denied to Chief Rios. Chief Rios replied back a generic answer. The second email that you have was me asking Chief Rios to meet with me to answer any questions he might have, as well as providing 5 personal references, 4 of which are elected officials in the town of Avon. The 5th was the chief of the fire department of Avon, where I was a volunteer firefighter. Correct?
Yep, I have a list right here.
Okay, so that was an anger issue? Perceive providing references to the chief and asking for a meeting to discuss as like impulsive and anger.
They're argumentative.
I can give you that. They are argumentative, yes. I was trying to express my displeasure and get a hearing. Yes. The investigating officer in the case where I was arrested for. Did the investigating officer go to the location of the alleged attack?
The report does not indicate that she went there.
Did she talk to any witnesses?
There were no witnesses.
There were witnesses. My children were there.
Okay.
Sir, can you keep it to questions, please?
Yeah, your children, I think, were 3, 5. And also the younger ages. And I think the only adult, other adult who was in the home, by statements from both the victim and yourself, was not present. Was taking a shower or something like that.
Correct. So the arrest was based upon solely the statement from the alleged victim and my statement to the officer who was investigating.
Yes, there was a warrant done based on her statement and your statement, and we received a signed arrest warrant for sex assault 3 unlawful restraint of evidence.
And based upon this arrest, like in your, how many years of law enforcement have you?
Almost 16.
16, okay. Have you dealt with any sexual assaults?
Yes.
Is it commonplace for somebody who's assaulted to stay at the location where they've been assaulted, where the assaulter is still there?
There are many reasons sexual assaulters can stay or don't reach out. There are numerous studies shown that, yes, they will stay, that they will not reach out until later. Many of them cannot believe what happened to them, and it does take a period of time for them to understand, come to a realization that an incident occurred to them.
Okay. This statement from this person stated that the assault happened. I left the residence, came back, knocked on the door, and she let me back in. Correct?
Yes, I believe it started with an electrical panel issue in the apartment that she was renting, that you came over to look at it, you looked at it, it was, I guess, the first interaction was very brief. You invited her for dinner with your family in the main part of the house, She accepted. She alleges some inappropriate comments were made that made her feel uncomfortable. So she ended up, I don't believe she ended up eating it other than staying there. She then went on to say that the two of you moved on to another room in the house to sit by the fire. The children were present. She mentioned something about being stressed, that you then started to massage her shoulders, that she said no, that it made her uncomfortable, that she moved to another room in which you followed her, and then forcibly put your hands on her. At that point, she left and went to her apartment. I believe a short time later, you knocked on the door to check on the electrical panel again. Made whatever adjustments to the electrical panel. She did let you in on her own. Whatever adjustments were needed, happened, and then you then tried to force yourself on her again at that point before leaving.
In her statement, she said that she did not cry out when she was being assaulted because she did not want to alarm the children, correct?
Yes.
Do you find it normal that somebody who's being assaulted and is afraid for her life, as she stated, would be concerned about somebody else's children?
It is common for sexual assault victims to not cry out when they're being attacked.
And she stayed overnight in this apartment where the landlord, May, was in the same building with access to her apartment for a key until the next day when she filed this police report.
Correct.
And the investigating officer asked the victim why she didn't either leave or make any phone calls to anybody. Correct?
She did ask, yes. I don't recall her explanation, but again, traumatizing event occurs, it is very difficult to try to predict what somebody will do.
Will a traumatizing event prevent somebody from telling the truth?
Potentially. I can't speak to any individual's trauma other than my own.
Okay. So, in her statement, her signed statement to the police, her sworn statement, she said that she didn't call anybody because she did not have cell service in her apartment. There was no signal.
Okay.
Do you think that could have been proven or disproven by an investigating officer?
Probably could have been proven or disproven, yeah. I don't recall seeing anything about cell service in the statement.
Yeah, it's in there. I can find it if you need to.
You said that was in her statement or in the warrant?
She also stated in her statement, you know, the sworn legal statement, that she had never accepted any invitations up to dinner to my house, which was, you know.
Right.
Okay, and I provided both yourselves and the board copies of documentation that the arresting officer, investigating officer, could have determined that that was not the case, that she indeed thanked me for and indeed came up and joined my family and myself for dinner multiple times.
Sir, is this a question? I'm failing to see what the question is.
I just want to confirm that the statements that the victim made could have been easily proven to be false if the investigating officer, who was fired by the town of Avon for lying and not doing her duties, actually had done her duties that particular day.
Well,
at this point, this is a cross-examination, so if you can do that on cross-examination, you may do so. You will have a chance to address the board on your own testimony coming up.
Okay, I won't be the dentist. Yeah.
that complete your questions?
Did you consult with anybody in the Avon Police Department before coming here today regarding this case?
No. All the individuals involved in this case are either retired or on vacation, and I was given this yesterday afternoon.
Oh, lucky you. Okay, I don't have any other questions. I hope you had a chance to read everything over.
Does the board have any questions of the lieutenant? Seeing none, Lieutenant, do you have any other witnesses?
No.
Okay, so you may tell us what you'd like us to know.
All right, I appreciate your time here today. I don't want to belabor the point. I'm a 54-year-old guy. I have 3 college degrees. I've married for the second time for the last 10 years. I've lived in Avon for about 15 years now. My arrest was over 10 years ago. My understanding is the clean slate law will eventually make that thing go away, which would be nice. But anybody who Googles my name will find that arrest on my record, which is always something that sticks with you, that you have to explain, like a used car with a problem that you're trying to sell. But I'm a landlord. I was renting to somebody who I thought was living in an apartment attached to my house. I thought this person was more than just a tenant landlord. I thought they were actually like an extended part of the family. I was too casual in the relationship. I learned my lesson. I had never had any interactions with the police. So when I got a phone call to go talk to the police, I was, lack of a better word, ignorant. And I basically gave them enough, is what they told me, to have them press these charges against me. And they told me it wasn't up to them to determine who was telling the truth. They just, you know, file the charges and I go to court and do the whole thing, which I did. I hired an attorney. You know, I mean, the guy knows what he's doing. Several pre-court hearings, you know, time and time again. Every time you go, they try to offer you a different deal. You know, I wanted to clear my name. It matters to me. You know, I have to see my family and I have kids. You know, I got 4 children, as referenced in that, and I remarried and I have 3 stepchildren. Two of my stepchildren still live with us. I have shared parenting with my children from previous marriage, 50-50 custody, and if there was something wrong with me, my ex-wife would have taken them away a long time ago. But, I'm starting to ramble, but, the long and short of it, the attorney, as I went through the court process, the attorney advised me, we got to the point where we're going to go to trial. The attorney said, we go to trial, it'll be a $10,000 retainer. You have a lot of information here in terms of, you know, the investigating officer, facts that could be proven in court to your favor, whatever. He goes, even though there's a 95% chance you'll get acquitted, there's a 5% chance that you won't, and you'll leave here in an orange jumpsuit, you lose your family, your career, your house, da-da-da-da-da. They're offering you this deal, these misdemeanors, which aren't like theft-related or violence-related. You pay a $500 fine, get on with your life, put this behind you, and be done with it. He goes, at the end of the trial, he goes, I'll close my briefcase and go home. You'll either go home or you'll put on an orange jumpsuit. I made the decision that I thought was best for my family to take the $500 deal, plead no contest to these misdemeanors, which I thought wouldn't have a detrimental effect on my life, even though, like, the arrest that people Google my name, people throw it in my face every once in a while. I serve on the board of directors at the Niantic Documentiums. I have two homes, one in Avon, one in New London, and I'm a member of the Connecticut Marine Trades Association. I have a small business called Nautical Light that I operate as well in the state of Connecticut. So, like, I'd like to think of myself as law-abiding. I don't do drugs. I don't do alcohol. I don't have trouble with the law. I don't have a violence problem. I was divorced, went through a hellacious divorce, which, if anybody has ever done that, you know what I mean. I was ignorant to how the whole law worked, and I had somebody who wanted to get out of her release. She accused me of something. I was stupid enough to fall into it, and here I am today, hoping that you think that I'm responsible enough. I took the pistol permit class. I know all about Ethan's Law because I have children, so I know gun safety and all that. So I just, I'm cautiously optimistic that the system won't fail me. But after what I went through, like when I came here today, I was thinking that everything I had sent the Avon Police Department, that they would go through, review it, and knowing what they know now, wouldn't challenge this. You know, like, I guess I'm still ignorant, but, you know, I don't see myself as a threat to the public or myself or my family. So I humbly ask you to approve my application.
Thank you, sir. Lucent, do you have any questions for the appellant?
I have no questions.
Does the board have any questions for the appellant?
If you had to do it over again, would you have impugned the reputation of the prior chief of police on social media?
No, I. When it all happened, you know, one of the reasons that I accepted the plea deal, I hung on to the very end as I went through the pretrial conferences until they finally made me this deal that my lawyer told me, he goes, you'd be an idiot if you don't take this deal because these misdemeanors are nothing and blah, 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 blah. So I really thought that, like, when I went for the application, that it wasn't going to be denied. And being a volunteer firefighter in the town of Avon for the past 12 years, I mean, I would have thought that the town would give a crap about me, right? Like, so I was a little bit frustrated that I didn't even get like a call, a discussion, an answer, nobody checked my references. Like, I volunteer for the town. I go out on fire calls, I put fires out. Like, I'm a decent person, like why? You know, I just didn't get it. So, you know, I got a little frustrated, and when I get frustrated, I get sarcastic. You know, so I made the comment about the salad bar, you know, but the only threat I made is, you know, I'm getting denied. I don't think it's legal that I'm getting denied. You know, I might hire an attorney to represent me for my application. Now, if that's considered a threat, then, I mean, I would like to think that every person in the U.S. can use the legal system without people finding it to be, you know, a threat. You know what I mean? But, you know, it's... I learned a lot. I mean, I'm still a landlord, but I keep things very professional now. I mean, it's I learned a lot. And being a parent, you know, I have children, two of them are daughters. You know, I don't want it to do anything that's even perceived to be, you know, make somebody uncomfortable or inappropriate. You know, I have a career. I'm a senior director at Becton Dickinson. Any of you have blood taken or get the vaccine? You know, that's my product. You know, I make those products. I work out of my home. My office is in New Jersey. I've been there for 10 years. I'm a fairly boring person. Other than the fact I like to boat, I go boating. I have my boat in Niantic. I have my house in New London. I'm also working with Deep. I'm trying to get a dock built in my house. That's similar to this. It takes like 3 years. But, I mean, it's, I would be a responsible citizen and keep it safe. The house I live in Avon, there was a murder committed in my house, in my kitchen. The guy who used to live in my house, he hired a guy off Craigslist. Him and his brother show up. He didn't pay the bill, I guess, to the guy's satisfaction. These two guys stabbed the dude to death in the middle of the kitchen in the house that I live in. So like when you sit there and say, geez, you know, like you want, you know, a pistol for your safety. Every morning my wife wakes up and she's like, remember what happened in Cheshire? Remember this, remember that? And I'm like, you know, I have a bear pepper spray and I have a baseball bat, but that only goes so far. And, you know, it's a constant reminder that this gentleman was murdered in the house I'm in. My children call it the murder house. So it's, you know, it's just, things can happen. I would just like the ability to protect my family.
Yes.
So the victim's statement, which we have, was fairly well detailed, and that was you're claiming that that was completely false to get out of her lease.
It wasn't completely false.
Okay.
It was embellished, I would say. So when all this happened, I don't know if you folks remember the snowstorm.
We don't want to
okay.
go. So what parts were accurate?
Okay, parts are accurate. I did go in there to work on the electrical panel.
Yep.
I did invite her up for dinner. We're having chicken. She accepted. She came up for dinner. She decided not to eat, but then she came up later to sit in front of the fire because the heat was up due to the huge snowstorm in October 31st. It was that 5-day blackout period. I did rub her shoulders in front of the stove, you know, the fireplace. When I left the first time, I gave her a kiss on the cheek. You know, I gave her a hug, kiss on the cheek. So when I spoke to the investigating officer, you know, it wasn't all like a lie. I didn't force her against the wall. She didn't have any bruises. The officer looked for bruises, looked for this, looked for that. And I really honestly thought, like, if you read the statement that I made, the officer will say that I was, like, you know, calm and collected and, you know, for the first half of the interview, because, like, I really thought it was just, like, clearing something up and, you know, if you have nothing to worry about, you can talk to the police. The second half of the interview, when I showed you, the investigating officer, all these text messages from the victim contradicting her written statement, she didn't want to even look at them. She was like, I don't need to see that. And I was like, that's when I knew I was screwed. And I started stammering, I started blah, 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 blah. And it's in the officer's report that, you know, I panicked. I mean, it's like, I realized my goose was cooked and there was nothing I could say.
So go back, so you're claiming though that the accusations regarding the attempted sexual assault and unlawful restraint were made to get out of her lease?
Mm-hmm.
Was there an issue with the lease? Had she not paid the lease?
No, she paid. She'd only been there a few months.
Okay.
She was single as I was single.
How old was she?
She, I believe, was like 56 years old.
Okay.
And at the time, I was like 43.
Okay.
She didn't have any children or anything like that with her. It was just individual.
Yep.
And she had met somebody online that she was telling, like, we used to talk because we live in the same house, and she comes up and does laundry and stuff. She was telling about this guy she met online. She wanted to go to California to meet the guy, and she wanted out of the lease. So what I told her, I said, I'm happy to let you out of the lease. You pay until I find somebody new. I'll put the thing up on.
And that happened, like, that same day?
It happened 3 days earlier.
3 days earlier? You said you had a very competent attorney?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Attorney Georgiadis.
And I'm sure he let you know that pleading guilty, that would stay on your record. And
right.
You did plead guilty to the it's reckless endangerment. It's not like disorderly conduct or anything like that, it's reckless endangerment. You were aware of that at the time.
Yes, yes.
That's all I have.
So you just mentioned something about the text messages, which we have towards the back of
our
packet. I see these text messages. It looks like they're dated August 4th or August 2011. I guess all in the month of August 2011. And you stated they contradict the report. Could you elaborate on what you mean by that?
Sure. Okay. So she in her written sworn statement, she said she'd never been upstairs to my house. So like what she was renting from me was a 2-bedroom in-law suite, my entire basement. It had a separate entrance and exit. So on one of the text messages, she states that she, you know, comes up repeatedly to use the laundry and, you know, watch TV. And then further in there, there's the one that says, I'm like the best landlord ever. In her signed sworn statement, she said, from the day she moved into my apartment that I made her uncomfortable, I said, you know, inappropriate things to her, and yada, yada, yada. And if I was to just read her statement like the investigating officer did, I would probably say this guy's a creep or whatever, you know. But if somebody looked at the text messages that weren't just on my phone, they were on her phone, you know, like, this doesn't seem to jive with what she was saying. So there was that, and then, you know, there was she stated in her sworn statement that she had never accepted any invitations from me to have dinner with me and my kids and my nanny, which is the person that was in the shower. In the statements, she thanks me for inviting her to dinner and that she had dinner with us. So, I mean, it's like, it's just inconsistencies that, you know, could have been pointed out that could have perhaps made her change her story, which could have perhaps not led to me being arrested and going through what I went through. You know, because having a record is, you know, even with what I pled no contest to, every time I get a job, I'm a professional guy. They do background checks on me, yada, yada, yada. I mean, I have to disclose all this, and I have to talk to it and what it was, and I have to get the HR people to agree to let me have a job. I even applied. I travel a lot for work. I travel all over the world. And I can't get the short line thing.
Global entry.
They ask you, have you been arrested? And I say, yeah, I've been arrested. And you can't wait in the short line. You know, like, it impacts so many things in your life that I would have thought, my disappointment with the Avon police was that I would have thought when you charge somebody and you drop them in the legal system, I mean, this is significant. This is a significant thing in their life. And to somebody like myself, like, I'm, you know, I mean, it can really screw your life up. You know, I met my wife after all this happened. You know what it was like trying to tell your in-laws about this? You know, it was hell. And in part of the statement, well, my interaction with the police, you'll see that I had called the police. My ex-wife trespassed in my house after we got divorced. My ex-wife stole my DVDs out of my minivan. I follow the law. I don't threaten. I don't get violence. I called the police. I said, you know, help me resolve this because she's having boundary issues, right? I don't go off the deep end. So, I mean, life is a journey, and I by no means think I know everything at this point, but I know enough now that if I was in the same situation with a tenant, and I have tenants now, I wouldn't put myself in a position to allow them to have the power over me where I could get accused of something. Secondly, I know enough that the police are not always there to help you. You know, they're there to basically find out if there's enough they could charge you with. So, I mean, I hope I'm not ignorant anymore, but I'm by no means street smart. So, you know, that's kind of how I am. And I'll stop rambling because you've got other things to do. So.
There was a question earlier that a lot of this statement is inaccurate, and there was a question as what parts were inaccurate. I got that. You were there for the electrical panel. You did massage her shoulder, rub her shoulders. Did you say you also had kissed her?
On the cheek.
On the cheek. And you kissed her nowhere else?
No.
And all these things she states that you said to her, did you say any of them?
I made
like, let me kiss you, et cetera.
I didn't say any of that. The only comment I made is she was talking about, you know, dating, and she was holding the flashlight for me to work on the electrical panel because the lights were off in the house, and she was holding the flashlight, and I made an appropriate joke about the flashlight, but that's fine.
What was the inappropriate joke about the flashlight?
The joke was, you know, you should have no problem, you know, finding somebody to date. You could get a guy as hard as this flashlight.
And you said you pled no contest. It wasn't a guilty plea?
Right, I pled no contest.
Bear with me. Your email to James Rio on the 29th of August regarding the officer that had killed himself and his wife. Do you think that's an appropriate email to send?
In retrospect, no. I was trying to convey a point which probably could have been put through more eloquently. My point was that, you know, when you have the authority to have the responsibility to decide who gets a weapon and who doesn't get a weapon, and this is somebody who, the point I was trying to make is somebody that you know, that you work with day in and day out, you don't know what's going on in their head or in their life, you know, and this can happen, right? I mean, so you look at me, and it's like, you know, I'm not under the type of stressors that officers are. You know, fire department people don't have it as hard as officers. But, you know, I was acting out when I sent that email. I was being a little bit childish, I suppose.
I'd have to agree with that. Any other questions by the board? Go ahead, Colonel.
Where do you live at? You're saying two houses. You're building a dock at your house. I'm sure you don't have a, I'm thinking of a lake or river in Avon where you're building the dock.
Yeah, no. I live at 493 Lovely Street in Avon. Okay. Two of my children are still in high school, and I have a summer house in New London on 346 Pequot.
Okay, that's fine.
Having the dock built. And the dock in many of my own is in Niantic and the Niantic dock.
Okay. Other questions by the board? Sir, do you have any other witnesses?
No.
Would you like to make a closing statement?
I'm 54 years old, married, father of four, stepfather of an additional three, and a cavapoo named Tucker. I have an electrical engineering degree from UMass Lowell from 1992, a MBA from Northeastern University in 2000, graduated summa cum laude, a master's degree in supply chain from Indiana University in 2012. I was married 10 years, had four children from that marriage, which ended in 2009. I was granted 50-50 shared parenting by the Connecticut Family Court, and I'm on year number 10 of my second marriage. Two of my stepchildren still live with me, as well as three of my younger children from my first marriage. My oldest is attending Bentley College and lives at school. My mom lives on Cape Cod. My dad served in Vietnam, passed away 20 years ago. I'm employed at BD, Becton Dickinson, in Franklin Lake, New Jersey, and I've been with them for 8 years now. I also own a small business called Nautical Light that does signage for boats out of New London. Member of the Connecticut Marine Trades Association. I live in Avon, Connecticut, and I have a summer house in New London. I serve on the board of directors at the Niantic Dock Dominium, so I voted in there. I consider myself law-abiding, non-confrontational, can be sarcastic at times. Sometimes I might say things that are stupid, that I put in emails to people I probably shouldn't. But I know Ethan's laws. I know the responsibility and the privilege of firearm permit, what that means. And I will demonstrate to this board that I would be a responsible permit holder if you decide to grant me that right.
Thank you, sir. Lieutenant, would you like to make a closing statement?
The time that I had to review the case file and listen here, it kind of dawned on me that the appellant considers himself the victim in this case, when in fact there was an actual victim that the appellant has not taken responsibility for. Throughout this application packet, there's minimization of facts, and things are just brushed off as being sarcastic or in a joking manner. I just didn't want to lose sight of the fact that there was an actual victim in this case, and that the appellant has not been victim. And that if I was doing this, I would agree with the investigating officers in this, that the appellant's not suitable for a fire term.
Thank you, Lieutenant. Comments by the board?
Like to say this was an unfortunate singular event over a decade ago with based on the records we have available, a gentleman who has no other arrest or legal matters on his record and is a homeowner, taxpayer, business person in the state of Connecticut.
Other comments? Dr. Conrad?
For the appellant.
Attorney Cinetti?
Issuing authority.
Colonel Lewis?
Issuing authority.
Colonel Overturf?
Issuing authority.
Ms. Johnson?
Issuing authority.
Chief Rosenzweig?
Issuing authority.
Chair votes issuing authority. Thank you, gentlemen. That's six.